Curtis and Cosby.
The group dedicated to fight crime.
They're gonna chase it down.
From the street perspective, Curtis Sliwa.
All of it.
Please welcome Rita Cosby.
There's a lot of heat on the president.
The headlines, the issues, the people.
America!
From New York to D.C. to your neighborhood.
The Red Berets are helping the cities in fear.
Curtis Sliwa.
Founder and president of the Guardian Angels, Curtis Sliwa.
Rita Cosby.
Rita, that was an explosive interview.
Live, local, on it. Curtis and Cosby.
Curtis Sliwa.
Rita Cosby.
Curtis Cosby.
77 WABC.
Seven minutes after the hour 12. And ladies and gentlemen, it is a very important anniversary, Rita Cosby. Today is 1 year from that night at Presbyterian Hospital, Columbia Presbyterian Hospital, up on 168th, where I underwent a 8.5 hour operation for the removal of Crohn's disease, of which there was quite a bit in both the ileum and the colon. Now, although it was remedied, and I didn't have to go an additional step, which would have meant a colostomy bag and a catheter for life.
And I cannot imagine you having that, Curtis. And by the way, so many of us were sitting there praying, and an 8.5 hour surgery is a really long surgery.
Well, I was very fortunate because they said if that hadn't worked the surgery, because I was fading fast, I had gone from 220 pounds down to 140 pounds in 2.5 years as I was first hit with colitis, which was damaging the colon, then ileitis, which damages the ileum, and then full-blown Crohn's disease. So they said, well, if this procedure doesn't work, and then we try the next procedure, which is the colonoscopy, which means I'd have to wear a bag the rest of my life, and the catheter, which I'd have to have strapped to my leg the rest of my life in order to deal with my just normal processing of waste. Then you might want to consider comfort care.
Oh, my goodness. And I mean, I can't imagine you. You must have been like, no way.
I said to the team of doctors, I said, comfort care? You mean hospice? No, I'm not ready for Calvary Hospital. I say, look, Calvary Hospital does a great job with hospice, but I am not ready. I battled the Grim Reaper before. But they said, yeah. But believe it or not, even when you got shot with the 5 hollow point bullets back on June 19th of 1992, as dire a situation as that was, you would repair a lot more quickly after surgery than you will with Crohn's disease. And Rita, they couldn't be more hopelessly right about that.
But I want to say, too, because everybody got to check out our social media on Curtis and Cosby, because you see the before and after. You look amazing now. I mean, sitting alongside you every day, Curtis, I often forget that you went through it because you're such a fighter. You have such energy. You have such a spirit. And so for me, it is amazing how much you've bounced back. And when you look at the before and after pictures, it's stunning. And it's really a testament to your fight.
Well, as we are high atop Madison Square Garden, the great facilities provided to us for this broadcast by NJDiet.com. Thank God the hawk is not talking out there.
Thank God.
We've gotten some relief in the weather. But I will tell you this. If you go to Curtis and Cosby, the Facebook page, you will see a picture taken like a day or two before the surgery, where I'm sitting in a chair, I'm checking out my cell phone. And then we took almost exactly the same picture yesterday. Christian, our millennial hipster phone screener, who is now the board operator today because Brian Mangalucci is away. And he took the same picture, and we posted it side by side. And we've had almost 5,000 responses.
All of them wishing you well, as I do, my friend.
Not all of them.
Wait. I didn't see too many. I actually looked through it because there were a lot of comments.
Yeah, not all of them.
I didn't see. What did they say?
Did
John Gotti get to our Facebook page?
No. Look.
Wait a minute.
We have a lot of listeners who have taken shots at me from time to time. Thank God they weren't bullets because I've had enough lead poisoning in my time. But I'll give you an example. Here's Robert Lamont, who wrote, "Didn't recognize the person in the brown leather chair. Most people, if you didn't tell them that was Curtis Sliwa, you look people thought like I was a survivor of a camp.
Yeah, you looked so skinny.
Like Auschwitz.
And gaunt. And you know, you also looked aged. Like, I was very worried about you right before the surgery because, Curtis, you'd come in here and people don't realize, too. I mean, you were not eating, first of all. You could only eat, turkey. I mean, it was very careful what you eat. You looked gaunt. You looked skinny. And you just look physically, and then to go into an 8.5 hour surgery, which would take a lot out of anybody. We were saying a lot of prayers that day, my friend.
Yeah. I was ashen. The skin was turning gray. It was turning for the worse. Here's Ashton Johnson, who writes, God is on his side. If God is for you, who can be against you? Well, Ashton,
that's a nice one. That's not a bad one.
If you have like a half hour, I can give you a whole list of everybody who's against me.
I could give you, I think you need more than a half an hour.
Starting
Curtis.
With Andrew Evil Eyes Cuomo, King Cuomo II, the son of Mario Faccia Brutta Cuomo, King Cuomo I.
That's only one of like 5,000
right.
names.
Andrew Evil Eyes Cuomo, right, is number one. He's number one at the top of the list, but he's followed quickly by that dope from Park Slope, the part-time mayor, Bill de Blasio, who we'll be talking about him next.
Wait, Can I start naming your ex-wives, too? Can we add that to the list?
Oh, you can put them on there. And then everyone I've had beef with, some of our callers. So that's quite the list. And then I'll give you one more because this one is so pertinent to a story today.
All right.
In which I say, I told you so. First, let's give our numbers out. 1-800-848-WABC. That's 1-800-848-9222. Joan Ocinco writes...
Is that a real name, Ocinco?
Yeah.
Can you imagine having to grow up with a name like Ocinco?
I'm probably pronouncing it the wrong way.
Yeah, but Ocinco, that you think about how much that person got mocked in school.
Right. And she writes, you took the chance and ate the romaine lettuce that was recalled. Guess you forgot how it felt to be very ill.
Oh.
And the reality is, I was right. And the FDA and the CDC were wrong.
You and I are going to have a little beef on that because I still think... After, in light of Curtis, especially the surgery that you had, that was really hugely life-threatening. I mean, enormously life-threatening. And you can even see it on the Facebook page and our social media, the before and after. I am one of those people, you like to cheat death. I am one of those people that I would rather, I don't mind, I go skydiving, I do all these crazy things, as you know, but I will not eat romaine lettuce.
Well,
I don't want to ask for it.
Look in today's news headlines. They have pinned down what they claim was the tainted romaine lettuce to one farm in California.
Yep, the reservoir in Santa Barbara County, which, by the way, remember I worked in Little Bakersfield, not too far away.
Right, but think of it. They told us to get rid of tons of romaine lettuce the very day that more vegetables are sold than any other day of the year, the day before Thanksgiving.
Yeah, it was terrible timing.
Everybody discarded their romaine lettuce that they had already purchased, and supermarkets and grocers and even Whole Foods, the outrageous prices they charge for their romaine lettuce, they threw it away. And yet it only came, the tainted lettuce, from one farm. Now, do you know how many farms there are out there that grow romaine lettuce? If I were them, I'd be screaming to the high heavens saying, we want a rebate.
But wait a minute.
We want a rebate.
That's fine and well and good. But there were 59 people in 15 states who got sick from romaine lettuce.
In October.
And they believe it was traced to that farm.
Right. October.
Exactly. So I don't care what it was. If there's tainted lettuce, it's tainted lettuce.
If nobody got sick in November.
They finally figured it out. They're not rock stars. They're not rocket scientists.
And our listeners, they folded like cheap cameras. This guy got Chicken Little. This guy is falling. Get rid of the romaine. Well, I went out and found a few stalks of romaine lettuce that were left.
Yeah, and you were chomping on it next to me during the show.
And knowing... Well, it was like 1 year since they removed the Crohn's disease. And remember, the thing about Crohn's is it never goes away. Right now it's dormant. It's still in the colon. It could be inflamed based on me eating a slice of pizza.
So wait a minute. Are you – I'm just going to – and I think our listeners would agree. I think you are a sadomasochist, Curtis.
No,
I really do because why, when you just said that anything you could take could inflame it, it could irritate it, that you would take a chance on romaine lettuce.
I
went to the Romanian garden in Queens afterwards. I asked them about it.
It was fake, phony, fraudulent hype. It was bogus information, and you all went for it. And – I still would.
I am still careful about romaine lettuce, Curtis. That's how much of a you know why? I had a very dear friend of mine get super sick from bad meat one time, and ever since then, if I see something that's chancy, no, but it's psychological.
I understand.
When you see it, I throw it out. If it's chancy, why would you take a chance?
I understand, but why? That's meat. We're talking romaine lettuce.
I'm talking food.
If people are so concerned about warnings, why did everybody immediately run to the stores, the supermarkets, the Home Depots, and buy out every Yule log that was put out by the Colonel Kentucky Fried Chicken that smells like a bucket of the original Kentucky Fried Chicken? They sold out.
That's amazing.
It's
looking
good.
What
kind of gavones live in America?
Who wants to smell, by the way, the smell of Kentucky? I have had Kentucky Fried Chicken. I'm going to admit, I went to school down south. I went to University of South Carolina. There's a lot of Kentucky Fried Chickens, but I don't think I want it in my fireplace. You have it and you want to throw it out quickly afterwards. You want to smell that?
I understand, but what is that? Seven seasons and seven herbs that they put the herbs and spices, you know, like the three kings bringing the presents to the little baby Jesus. And all those hillbillies out there in flyover country, the same ones, you know, is like Trump.
Wait a minute. You're making fun of my South Carolina peeps, I think.
Well, let's face it. They went out and they bought out. And Walmart has no more Yule logs put out by the Colonel Kentucky Fried Chicken that smell.
It's finger-licking good.
Yeah, finger-licking good.
Now, Curtis, I have a friend.
Can you imagine smelling like Kentucky Fried Chicken? Have you ever been in the kitchen of a fast food restaurant?
I was about to say,
chicken
Curtis,
is cooked?
I have a friend who says, Curtis, that Kentucky Fried Chicken has killed more people than like gunfire, cancer, all these things because of the grease. So do you get a smell of the grease, which you know all too well as a fast food guy?
This goes back to chicken delight tonight. Have chicken delight. There have been so many purveyors of fried chicken. What are you going to smell like? Kennedy Fried Chicken, Kansas Fried Chicken, all the knockoffs. You know, first of all, who would want to even smell like chicken? Those huge chicken farms in North Carolina where they're nut to butt, where they pump them up with steroids only to slaughter them so you could have your fried chicken original or extra crispy, and then you want your house smelling like that on Christmas Day?
And also, by the way, the kind of people who probably would buy the log, Curtis, are the people who would probably want to have it 364 days a year.
I want to find out what kind of gavones out there, what kind of machads, what kind of stunads
would give themselves a break on New Year's
Day. Would want to buy a Yule log that smells like Kentucky Fried Chicken, the original recipe. 1-800-848-WABC. That's 1-800-848-9222. And oh, yes, the pretentious one. Andrew Evilites, Cuomo, King Cuomo II, the son of Mario Faccia Bruta, Cuomo, King Cuomo I.
By the way, Curtis, I was ready for you to do the segue, speaking of smells, because that would have been a good one, because boy, does it stink down there.
Well, he went down into the Canarsie Tunnel. Why it's named Canarsie, I have no idea. It's nowhere near Canarsie. It connects the Brooklyn side of the L train to the Manhattan side underneath the East River. He and what was that? Bynum, you know.
Byford, whatever. Andy Byford.
The wanker, the Brit, you know, from across the pond. They're walking around, and they got all these engineers in tow from MIT and Carnegie Mellon. And here is Andrew Cuomo. He was instructing them in terms of what they ought to do, because by April, they're closing the system down to fix it up because of damage done by Superstorm Sandy. You know how long ago that was? How has this train been able to run under that tunnel and on that line for so long without the entire line deteriorating? Man, this is bogus. Anyway, when we come back, you'll hear from Andrew Evilites Cuomo himself. Our number is 1-800-848-WABC. That's 1-800-848-9222. So in the wee hours of the morning, Andrew Evilites Cuomo descended into the bowels of the L train system, along with the wanker that he hired from across the pond to run the buses and subways of New York City and the MTA money-taking agency.
His name is Andy Byford.
Yeah, he's a wanker. That's known as the wanker with the light bulb head. His head looks like a light bulb.
I do have a problem with the British accent trying to fix New York subways. And the irony doesn't escape me.
Completely. But here was Cuomo being pretentious and telling everyone, hey, be careful.
Cameras, you want to walk around this side because there's going to be a train there. Getting hit by a train is never fun.
Never fun, right?
Never he's fun. The expert. By the way, don't you think that that's a very astute comment? That's
what an idiot.
Curtis, it's so funny. I laugh when I hear that.
Should have done this 2 years ago when I was talking about Elpocalypse and the coming trauma that hipsters and millennials will suffer through, because that's their main form of transportation. But here was Cuomo saying, look, for you hipsters and millennials on the L train, I will travel to the ends of the earth to get experts here to repair it more quickly.
I want to make sure, as governor of the state of New York, that I can look New Yorkers in the eye and say, we have gone through the project. We have gone through the project with the best minds on the globe. And this is the best way to do it and the fastest way to do it.
Okay, and I want to advise everyone, the next time they're in the company of Andrew Evilize Cuomo, and he wants to look you in the eye, you'll see. The evil eye, the maluccio.
Now, why do you call it? Yeah, what is that? Where did the evil eye name come from?
Well, that's Italian.
Yeah, no, I know.
It's a curse.
I know.
When he looks at you, he's really putting a curse on you.
Oh, I didn't realize that, because he has looked at me.
Well, look at it.
Not that way, but he's looked at me.
Look at him and notice the evil eye that is attached to his glare. And then he talked about how you New Yorkers are a skeptical bunch.
New Yorkers tend to be a skeptical bunch. This is going to be highly disruptive. Construction is going to start in 4 months. And I wanted to make sure we get the best minds again on the globe to review the project, because I want to be able to say, and I want them to be able to validate, we know this is disruptive, but there's no alternative.
The best minds around the globe to come in. Now, you would have thought all of that would have been done preemptively.
Yes. Well, that's why it's like so crazy. But it is better late than never. But you're right. He should have done this 2 years ago. But he's bringing in experts from Cornell and others. He's giving them 3 weeks to come back and say, okay, well, here is the assessment. Do we really need to shut it down for 15 months and cause such havoc to so many of us in New York?
It's not going to be 15 months. It's going to be 2 years or more. It's bogus.
But he wants to see if, okay, can we even trim it? And I'm glad, but you're right. He should have done this. It's like Superstorm Sandy, which obviously there's still a lot of damage all over our area.
Whoa.
But you're right. He should have done this years ago.
In fact, he actually goes back to Superstorm Sandy and talks about, again, he's the expert on this, how the damage was done.
The floodwaters came in, the salt came in, the salt stayed. And salt and electrical equipment is a toxic cocktail. When you add, on top of the fact that you have a 100-year-old tunnel, it did even more destruction.
Salt is bad for the rails.
Gosh, what an epiphany.
By the way, while he's telling us everything we already knew, over in New Jersey Transit, which was so poorly prepared for Superstorm Sandy, they left all their engines exposed. They did nothing to prevent damage to their system. They're battling with the federal government because they want reimbursements. And the federal government is saying, now you're hitting us with reimbursements on Sandy repairs?
Yeah, it's like hogwash. By the way, one thing I thought was so interesting, Curtis, and I learned this, and actually I'm curious to talk with you about this too, is that totally separately today they were also talking about having to cut back on with all the funds and why didn't they figure out all the funding? They actually said that in the 1990s there were only like 4 or 5 MTA security guys on all of MTA. Isn't that amazing? Going back to like security, they were saying that security on MTA, on the trains, on the subways, all the way back, and as we're talking about the L train and other trains, they were saying, first of all, like that they were so mal malprepared back in the 90s, as you know all too well.
Right, security, and they're still trying to catch transit police.
Yes, but that's isn't that amazing how like few?
They had a few thousand transit police.
Yes, yeah, but isn't that
so that's bogus.
Shocked. It is. That's why I'm saying they're all this bogus statistic coming out now.
They have MTA cops. What do? They just hold up the rails.
I knew you'd have something to say on that, my friend.
They're sexting and texting. What do you need MTA cops for, right? What do? They hang out at Jamaica Station where the Long Island Railroad meets the E and the J, and I always look at them. I see them down in Penn Station. I say, what do you guys and gals do? And they look at me and they say, collect a bigger paycheck than the NYPD. That's what they tell me. And it's true. Anyway, up next, the other half of the Italian Stallions, the Supreme Cugines, is facing NYCHA being put under receivership by the same federal judge who sentenced Michael Cohen just 2 days ago. And, oh, is he defensive, Comrade de Blasio? But first, let's get our news headlines and updates.
Getting hit by a train is never fun.
So, 40, in the same courtroom that Michael Cohen left 2 days ago, getting a 3-year rap in Camp Fed. Some think it's going to be in Odingsville up in New York State, the camp. Exactly. Not the actual prison.
And actually, we're going to talk about Michael Cohen and his new interview, really going after the president and the president responding. We're going to talk about that in the 1 o'clock hour.
But that same judge is listening to arguments on both sides as to whether NYCHA, the housing complex that is falling apart, public housing in New York, the largest in the nation, why it should not be placed in receivership like a union that's mobbed up. And then a federal judge intervenes and said a magistrate is going to run you from now on because your leadership is mobbed up. They're corrupt. So naturally, de Blasio is protesting that. He's complaining. He's moaning. He's groaning.
I'm with public housing over the last 20 or more years. If you're talking about the federal government taking over our public housing and running it, well, unfortunately, if you look at that history around the country, it's a very mixed bag. But second, you know, how are people who live here going to have any accountability if they can't turn to local leaders for solutions?
They already have.
Well, that's, you know what's the biggest hogwash, Curtis? The head of NYCHA, remember, lied. There was no gray. Lied. And they didn't do anything. Finally, she got to, quote, resign. So this is a man who has not held anybody who's had problems with a NYCHA for accountability. And he wants to pass the buck. It is such a joke.
The one thing he does tell the truth about is he is an expert on NYCHA because at the time when Cuomo was the head of NYCHA, HUD for the Clintons, he was the Northeast deputy director, and they were like two peas in a pod, a soup and a sandwich, a horse in a carriage. They couldn't be closer. So I give both of them credit. They know about public housing.
They do, which is why they should be taking a better interest in having the back of the people in NYCHA.
This is what de Blasio said. He goes, no, we've stepped in to do the fixing.
There's been a lot of real important issues that were raised in the last couple of years, and you've seen me, along with the chair and the general manager of NYCHA, responding to those concerns. There's a heat problem. We went out. We got more mobile boilers and more mechanics. There's a problem with need for more renovations. We announced this new vision around Section 8 and RAD. And I can go down the list one after another.
Boy, it's so good to know that the city of New York is on top of this ever-growing NYCHA problem. And then he said, hey, look, monitors from the federal government, come on, we don't need it.
We want, for example, a monitor, which we have with a number of agencies. We could make that work instantly. But we have to know that we can control our own destiny. And I think that ask people who live in public housing if they're comfortable looking to Washington for the day-to-day management of their buildings.
And then he went into one of his diatribes about how you can't do that with this President Trump and Dr. Carson, although he recently met with Dr. Carson about the problems. And then he was challenged by a NYCHA resident who said, what are you talking about? We'd love to have the federal government come in under receivership and run this crumbling system.
He just said it right now that he has a very close relationship with people who live in NYCHA. And if he does, how come and under his watch, NYCHA has gone to such a bad stage? And To the point that sometimes we not even have water to take a shower in these buildings. I would love to another agency or the federal government to take over, because I've been living there for 40 years, and instead of it get better, it's get worse and worse and worse. So nothing is going to change. For all those billion dollars, in 20 years, everything is going to be the same again if it's going to go in the same administration.
So here's a resident residing in a NYCHA public housing project for 40 years saying it's never been worse.
By the way, she's tame. You know, can you imagine? I bet you, first of all, he's on another radio show. I bet you that's always very favorable to him. So I bet you this was like the kindest, the nicest call they could have gotten through.
Yeah, but she says,
you know, come on.
She would welcome a federal takeover. She would welcome a federal judge putting it into receivership and having a magistrate from the federal court system overseeing the operation.
Which is reasonable and the least they can do. I mean, after that whole thing happened with Shola Olatoye, remember that? That was the woman who had the whole lead paint scandal, where she actually said, yes, there were inspections. Turned out there were not inspections. It was sort of, oh, it was a misstatement.
Right,
it was a lie.
They got money from the federal government, HUD, to do the inspection. So the question, the lingering question is, you took the money.
Yeah, what happened?
What'd you do with
it? Yes, exactly. Come on.
Mum's the word from City Hall. Anyway, our number is 1-800-848-WABC. Ladies and gentlemen, if you were that judge, the same judge that sentenced Michael Cohen 2 days ago to 3 years in Camp Fed, would you put the NYCHA Public Housing Project System, the largest in the nation, in receivership, which would mean a federal magistrate from the court system would have to call the shots and no longer the inept de Blasio? 1-800-848-WABC. That's 1-800-848-9222. But here's the Weisenheimer, de Blasio, instead of humbling himself and acknowledging what the caller was saying, because she's lived there for 40 years. He hasn't lived in public housing. He was immediately saying, absolutely not.
Well, Name, look, if you say that there's been a host of problems in NYCHA, of course you're right. But I would say respectfully, look at what happened that caused those problems. If the federal government had kept its funding commitments at the level needed to keep NYCHA going, you would not be having this conversation with me. That decision started to be made in 1980, and it's only gotten worse.
And most importantly, when Cuomo left HUD, because he wanted to run for governor.
Right.
Although he lost at that time in his bid against Carl McCall in the Democratic primary. They created it so that there were only two states that would be almost completely funded by HUD. You know which two states those are?
New York and?
New York. And this one's going to surprise you.
Yes. What's the other one? I actually don't know. I know New York is, but what's the other?
Hawaii.
Oh, interesting. Why Hawaii?
And it's not Obama who did that.
Yeah, why Hawaii?
That was Clinton.
Yeah.
Oh, that's very interesting.
Yeah, why?
I still can't get an answer to that. I think it was just cover to basically
to
say
give another state
from the biggest in terms of public housing to the smallest.
Yep.
And then everyone in between, you basically, there's a different participatory nature in which the federal government pays certain bills, the states and the cities and
maybe
those states.
Maybe they were drinking some Mai Tais and putting on a little grass skirt and said, God, you know what? It would be really good if we're in the federal government, if we have to visit the two states where we're overseeing, you know, and where we're paying so much money.
They were probably smoking a little Hawaiian Maui Waui at the time. Let's go to Mike in New York. Welcome to Curtis and Rita Cosby here on WABC. Mike.
Hi, Mike.
Hey, Curtis, Rita. How you guys doing today?
Good. What do you think of this whole mess of NYCHA? I mean, it's a disgrace. If I were one of the residents, Mike, I would be so furious. They need to, like, do picket lines and complain.
Hey, listen, I got a great idea. You remember that movie, The Super, with Joe Pesci?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, I love it. We both love Joe Pesci.
Yeah, we should send de Blasio, force him to live in one of those buildings till it's fixed.
Yeah, well, you know, this actually happened in Chicago, which used to have the worst public housing. They had the worst high-rise problems, and they knocked them all down and created townhouses, but it didn't eliminate the crime. Then Mayor Jane Byrne, who was like half in the bag like Governor Murphy in New Jersey, she actually moved into the Robert Taylor Homes,
one of
the units.
That's right.
For about a year, although, to be honest, she was never seen there. That was all for show.
Right, and I'm sure she had good security in the few times she was there.
Yeah, she was always... half in the
yeah,
bag.
Yeah, can you imagine? That's why it's always funny. But I like the idea, Curtis, because it's like, you know, if you're going to sit there, and especially de Blasio knows these buildings. That's what's so shameful is that he has let it go to the point.
Housing. Well, let's go to Patty, who's calling from New Jersey. Welcome to Curtis and Rita Cosby, Patty.
Hi. Nice to talk with you again. I think that instead of looking at it as a big NYCHA, there should be looked at individual, the individual projects, the individual counties or boroughs, and somebody, and they should have many people in charge, like of the Castle Hill project, this project. And then they're responsible for the maintenance of that building. I mean, after 40 years, my house, after 20 years, I had it.
Sure, but Patty, there was a much better idea years ago. This gentleman, no longer alive, he was an all-star football player in the AFL. Jack Kemp went on to become a congressman from the Buffalo area and then a member of the cabinet. I believe it was either Reagan or Bush 41.
Ran for president.
Right, and he said, I want the residents to be able to purchase their own units. Understanding it would be at a really minimal rate, but through ownership, they'll take more responsibility than just having being a resident of public housing for life.
I like that idea because then you're invested in it, and then but it has to be also realistically affordable for them.
Yeah,
too.
Well, no, he had it. In fact, he had ideas like a dollar a day. He was definitely moving.
I love that idea
in the right direction. But you know, it wasn't just the Democrats who shot him down because his tremendous patronage in HUD. But some of his fellow Republicans said,
but what a great idea,
those,
Curtis.
Those people in public housing won't be able to do upkeep. What are you, crazy? If you let a person own something, it's a much better chance they'll take better care of it than if all of a sudden they're either freeloading in it because they're getting free rent, Section 8, or they're being subsidized.
No, then you feel like you care about it. I agree. It's great. Let's go to Bob from Mountainside, New Jersey. Bob, you're here with Curtis and Rita. Go ahead, Bob.
Hey, thank you for taking my call and happy holidays.
You too, you too.
Thank you. Hey, isn't it just a general point about officials lying in official capacity about government activities, like Eric Holder lied, like James Clapper lied to Congress, Brennan?
I mean, like the president who's lied, because now Cohen has called him out and the president has lied, right?
Yes, no, not at all. He did that. Maybe if he lied, I don't know if he did, but
of course, you know. Everyone else lies, but not the president. The president probably comes up with about 7 fibs, white lies, or major lies
a
day.
Curtis, you
He's a pathological liar.
Curtis, you don't believe anything he says. Come on. You are so tainted against him.
Oh, yes, I do. Remember, I support him in the trade war against
the
Red Chinese.
Yeah, that was the one thing you've ever complimented him on.
What did the hedge fund monsters do? Oh, they folded. Oh, my God, the Red Chinese.
But his point, Bob's point is a good one, because in this particular case, no one has been held accountable. All these people have lied throughout NYCHA.
Well, not right now.
It's a coming to Jesus moment
today. If the federal judge appoints a monitor / overseer,
and they should,
then that person is going to be calling the shots at NYCHA. And no matter what de Blasio says after that, it means he failed. 1-800-848-WABC.
Manafort committed tax fraud. It wasn't me. Had shady business dealings abroad. It wasn't me. So many staffers who could be bold. It wasn't me. How'd you think you wouldn't be caught? It wasn't me.
107 here on Curtis and Cosby. A little Shaggy on the Late Late Show. I always love Shaggy. He's actually a good guy. I met Shaggy. He's very funny.
Well, he's definitely riffing here on Trump. Did a great video in which Trump is getting dragged out of the West Wing by the FBI and put in chains and shackles.
And you would be happy about that. And as would Michael Cohen. As we know, Michael Cohen, his fixer, was sentenced to 3 years in prison on Wednesday. And in a very explosive interview with ABC with George Stephanopoulos, he says, you know what? I wasn't the only one who knew about these dirty payments, that he says it goes all the way to the top to President Trump.
He knows the truth. I know the truth. Others know the truth. And here is the truth. The people of the United States of America, the people of the world, don't believe what he's saying. The man doesn't tell the truth. And it's sad that I should take responsibility for his dirty deeds.
And, you know, I do think Michael Cohen was compelling, but come on, he was facing 3 years. So you're going to say anything at that point. And he still is cooperating also with the feds. So do you out there believe Michael Cohen or do you believe President Trump? Michael Cohen, during the interview, by the way, also said, you know what? Yeah, he is concerned about, in his words, speaking out against the press.
Why do you think President Trump is lashing out against you in such a personal way, daily almost now, calling you weak, calling you a liar? Is he afraid?
Seems like it. That's what he does. That's what he does.
Are you afraid of him?
It's never good to be on the wrong side of the President of the United States of America. But somehow or another, this task has now fallen onto my shoulders. And as I also stated, that I will spend the rest of my life in order to fix the mistake that I made.
Where's my small violin here? Come on.
This guy, I knew. I was waiting for it, Curtis. You know, I know it, baby. Wait,
every time you see him either going into court or coming out of court, he's always looking around. Like he's got a nervous twitch or whatever.
Well, and he's acting like he's the hero of the moment.
I know, but he's got lying written all over him. You know, he's not smooth and slick a liar as Obama, Bush 43, or Trump.
Who are you? You're talking about Cohen, right?
No, Cohen is like he wears his lying. It's so obvious because he starts twitching. He starts looking around in all directions.
Well, he looks so rehearsed, too. His answers look very rehearsed.
You say this guy is a liar, but then again, did they have sit-downs with him just listening to him, or did he have to provide documentation and the tapes?
Yeah, well, the tapes, I think, is what's interesting. And the president did reply, of course, because this is what he had to say, and this is where I think he's going. First of all, he went after, clearly, Cohen's credibility, which is in question, and he also said, you know what, no matter what Cohen's saying I did isn't criminal, everybody.
Let me tell you, I never directed him to do anything wrong because what he did was all unrelated to me, except for the two campaign finance charges that are not criminal and shouldn't have been on there. They put that on to embarrass me. They put those two charges on to embarrass me.
Now, the president could have dug himself a big hole there if his friend Peckerhead.
You mean David Pecker from the American media, the National Enquirer?
He's a real peckerhead. But apparently Pecker, Michael Cohen, and then Citizen Trump sat down in a room together and worked this out.
According to Cohen and now some inkling
and
from Pecker.
Pecker.
Right, exactly.
So
now Pecker's saying similar.
If they can provide documentation to that meeting, well, then the president, obviously on this one, it's like, how do you believe him? I mean, is Cohen lying? All right, you can believe Cohen is lying, but Pecker's lying? The whole world is lying, and the only one telling the truth is Trump?
You know where he's going, Curtis. You can hear where the president's going, and I will also give him much more the benefit of the doubt than you do. But what I will say, the president's clearly gearing towards, you hear the line saying, if what Cohen's talking about, these two campaign finance charges, he said they're not a crime. He's going to say it was a personal issue between, you know, myself and having, if it turns out, yes, I had an affair, if he says that. And he's going to say it was a personal issue. Any guy would do it. It's not a campaign finance. It was a personal issue. And that's where he's going.
The president was cold-busted by the Wall Street Journal, which is a favorite publication, always touting Donald Trump and his administration. And he lied all about that then, knowing the Wall Street Journal had the goods on him.
Well, he's going to say,
and he perpetuated
he's
going to
say any man would do that because I'm married and I would not want that out if it comes down to where
that.
He has to say that.
Let him say that.
Well, he's sort of hitting there because he said what he's saying that I was attached to. All these other things are peripheral crimes of Cohen, who is singing like a bird now. But what's central to me isn't even a crime. It's not a campaign finance. A guy covering up an affair or a relationship is not a crime.
You don't know that.
I'm just saying that's what he's saying.
Well, that's what
he's
saying.
I do know that's what he's saying.
But in fact, if both of those allegations had come out right before the election, that might have damaged him against Hillary.
Yes, but he's going to say it's a personal matter. What husband wouldn't want that to come out?
He's running for president.
I would think if you're cheating on your wife or something, that's a personal matter.
Yeah, you think that was more important to him because his wife knows he's a cheater? Or the fact that if both those gals had come out simultaneously, like double barrel action, which with the proof, with the evidence, That could have damaged him in the waning days of the campaign against Hillary.
It could have, but he also, if Melania said, hey, I'm leaving you, that could have also, too.
Well,
and it was right after the Access Hollywood tapes, dude. That's what's important.
Let's go to Alan, who's calling from Atlanta, Georgia. Welcome to Curtis and Rita Cosby here on WABC. Alan.
Hi, Alan.
Hi, Curtis. Hi, Rita. Yeah, so there was an article written by Bradley Smith, former head of the FEC. He wrote a good article, and he said Cohen pleaded to crimes that didn't exist. And this is the guy who actually wrote.
Hold on a second. Now, Alan, Cohen and his attorneys, of which he's paid a lot of money to, goes in front of a federal judge and pleads to crimes he didn't commit. Where the hell do you get that idea from?
Read the article by Bradley Smith.
Okay, yes. Wait a second. So you're going to take one article and juxtaposition it against Cohen going in and out of court. He's been there a number of times. It started with Kimber Woods, and it ended up with this judge who sentenced him. And you're going to tell me he fell on the sword, and he actually said, okay, I'm guilty of these crimes. You're going to give me 3 years. And he wasn't guilty of those crimes? Are you out of your mind, Alan?
No. Read the article, Curtis.
Oh, my. Oh, no, my. Read the article. Yeah, you know what? The next time I got to take a bathroom break, I'll read the article. And then when all of a sudden where's the toilet paper? There goes the article.
Oh, my. You are not going to use a good article for toilet paper, my friend.
How ridiculous is that? You read one article instead of reading a multitude of articles.
But Alan is correct that there are legal scholars who say that you can say it's a personal issue versus a campaign finance.
And
that
just
because
as many,
of the nature of the
just
topic.
Just as many legal scholars.
There are. So it may
say,
be a battle of the legal scholars.
Well, why not wait until Mueller finishes report? His report.
You're going around saying he's a liar left and right.
Well, we know the president's a liar. Come on. Every day he's like guilty of seven fibs, white lies.
Oh, you are so terrible.
His own attaché, Hope. What was her name, Hope?
Hope Hicks.
Yeah, she said, I had to tell lies on behalf of my boss all the time.
She said white lies. You've never told a white lie in your life?
Of course I've told
white lies.
Curtis,
you've never told white lie is different than another lie.
This is the difference. I've admitted to my lies. This president never admits to any lie that he's told.
Well, you think he says it 24/7.
Well,
he's
pathological. He can't even remember all the lies that he's
Curtis,
told.
Curtis, you do not know that. You are jumping to you're believing Michael Cohen over him.
No.
You don't know that.
What do you mean, Michael? Michael Cohen is one of many. I want to hear from Peckerhead, who just made a deal from the National Inquirer, in which he said I was in a room with Trump
the National
and Michael Cohen.
Right.
Oh, yeah. In meantime, who was his best friend? Trump, best friend, Michael Cohen, best friend, Peckerhead of the National Inquirer. You are who you associate with, and he loved associating with that.
Let's go to Larry from Brooklyn. Larry, you're here with Curtis and Rita. Go ahead, Larry.
Okay, you know, I want to say this will never get through the great war of Rudolph Giuliani, the number one legal scholar in the country who says this is not a crime. There's a reason why
Larry, and you hear me. I am defending the president quite a bit with Curtis. I don't think Giuliani is necessarily the top legal scholar. I think he's a good pit bull, but boy, has he been fumbling and bumbling of late, Larry. I'd put Dershowitz or someone else well above Giuliani.
Truth isn't truth.
That's right. Who could forget that, Rudy?
The truth of the matter is that if this is put on Trump, it will chill. Everybody wants to run for president. There is nobody that didn't have any affairs, and they're entitled to cover this up. I mean, you're going to let Stormy Daniels bring down the president of the United States?
Well, let's talk about Monica Lewinsky, right?
I know, but Larry, you said the truth is...
Truth isn't truth.
according to Rudy Giuliani, the truth is not the truth. So, Larry, you're not really telling the truth.
Why isn't it not the truth?
Well, got to ask Rudy. I mean, he came up with that. What about Alternative Facts by Kellyanne Conway? Who ever heard of that one? What do you mean Alternative Facts? There's one fact. There's no alternative facts.
About what? I don't understand what you're saying.
What he's saying is that Rudy is all over the place. And listen, I'm not throwing the president under the bus here. I'm not the one here on the show who's doing that. But I will tell you that Rudy Giuliani has been, boy, Curtis, he's not the Rudy who was mayor. Hey, he's like
who
throwing darts.
Who picked him?
Throwing darts.
Trump. Who picked Michael Cohen? Trump. who picked Peck ahead from the National Enquirer
to make ready, a deal with I'm not ready
Trump.
To say that Rudy, you, I still think getting out there and fighting on behalf of the president, he needs someone who can fight for him articulately. Rudy is good for the first minute or two. Then after that, it goes all downhill.
That ain't going to help him legally. 1-800-848-WABC. Let's go to Johnny in Brooklyn. Welcome to Curtis and Rita Cosby, Johnny.
Hi, Rita. Hi, Curtis. How are you?
Good. What do you think, Johnny?
Well, I think that Michael Cohen's been a sleazeball his whole life. And when a guy lied yesterday, and now he tells me he's not lying today, I have a hard time with that. And I think what that guy Allen was trying to say was that these guys know that these people will do anything to get Trump. Anything.
Well, okay, and to escape jail time.
Well, what is that, Johnny? You know? Johnny, you think Trump is a smart guy, right?
Yeah, that I do. I mean, I think he's a lot of things, but smart is one of them.
All right. And so why would he have hired a liar? If you knew he's a liar and everyone else knows Michael Cohen is a liar, you hire a liar to do your dirty work, Johnny, to do your dirty work.
True. Curtis, listen, I've hired lawyers, right, so I don't have to lie.
Exactly. Thank you. You made my case, Johnny. You hire lawyers to do the lying for you so that you're not directly implicated. And that's what they are. They're liars for hire.
But you also hire lawyers and people like Rudy Giuliani to get out there and defend you, because you cannot, when you're a defendant, necessarily get out there and say everything.
I understand, but Michael Cohen...
You know, you're making it sound like it's all lies. That is not the case.
Michael Cohen was defending him. In fact, didn't he say he would take a bullet for the president and his family?
Yes, and then they said, we're going to put you behind bars for a long time, and suddenly he had an epiphany.
Well,
you know, and you have to believe, a lot of times people lie to get reduced sentence. You know that.
If you're the U.S. attorney and you're on the other side of Michael Cohen, and you know he's a liar, as we all know he's a liar, you're going to say, I don't believe anything you say. Show me the proof. Show me the documents. Let me hear a tape of a conversation.
Well, and that's where I think the tapes and all those things, and that's where I think at the end of the day of Trump, where you're hearing this, Curtis, that's why that statement where he said, you know, what he's saying I'm attached to, the two things are not really crime. So I think if it comes out at the end of the day, he's going to say, listen, I was just trying to protect my marriage. That's where I think he's going, if it comes out that way.
He better get to that point fast, because he is saying everything else under the sun instead of the truth, that he had sex with those women. 1-800-848-WABC.
To the phones we go. Let's go to Steve in Rockland. Steve, you're here with Curtis and Rita. Go ahead, Steve.
Hey, guys. You know, I don't know what to say. When you have people calling up and they say, well, I hired someone to lie for me? What does that say about you? So that means your lawyer is honest and you're not, and you're just paying him to be your representative for lying?
But some lawyers do that, Steve. You got to admit. Come on.
I don't know. You know what? I'm, quite frankly, I am very unfamiliar with that terrain. I'm very happy to say that, number one. And number two, the other thing about Rudy Giuliani that's really been bothering me is how he's been flying around the world, okay, promoting his Giuliani security company. In fact, it was on the front page of the New York Times how he was in Bahrain, you know, and it had nothing to do with, you know, it had more to do with his personal enrichment than anything else. And that's even more despicable.
Well, you know, Steve, he probably took the bridge over from Bahrain, an island right off of Saudi Arabia, and hand-delivered a note from Jared Kushner to his very dear friend, the Crown Prince of Saudi Arabia, saying, don't worry about it. I got your back.
You mean about Khashoggi? Is that where you're going?
I got your back. In fact, I'm going to be my father-in-law's chief of staff.
You'll see. I'll be his chief of staff. I'll protect him.
You are so bad. By the way, we are going to talk about that in the next hour. The names thrown out there, including Chris Christie,
Jared Kushner.
There's a lot of sound effects for you on the next one, Curtis. There will be no shortage in that one. Let's go to Ron from Lynbrook. Ron, you're here with Curtis and Rita. Go ahead.
Yes, hi, how are you? Am I coming through okay?
You're coming through loud and clear, baby.
All right, good, thank you. So, the thing is, we know that if we start from neutral, all politicians, even at the top, will lie. But the thing about this one is, I have relatives in Europe, in Germany and in France particularly, and all of them say the same thing to me. They think it's laughable that We're the only country, it seems, that has to worry what men of power are doing with their personal lives, making it crimes. It's literally laughable. And, of course, Americans will say, no, it's about their honesty. It's not about their honesty.
Well, Ron, did you say
it's
the same thing?
Did
you
say the, did you say the same thing? That game, that did is you, about
wait
their
a minute, Ron. Did you say the same thing when it was Monica Lewinsky, the blue dress, and Bill Clinton who said, I did not have sex with that woman?
Exactly. Exactly.
All right. Well, guess what? That's not America. America doesn't look at it that way, whether you're Republican or Democrat.
No, I'm not saying that it's condonable behavior. What I'm saying is everyone's acting as if this never happened. Every single president, Martin Luther King Jr. had a guy
wait,
for
wait,
every
wait,
city.
Wait. Hold on a second. Wait, how dare you besmirch Jimmy Carter? Jimmy Carter only thought about having sex with other women, and he said as a Southern Baptist that was a sin. But I don't believe that he cheated on his wife. That's the one president I do not believe.
And also, but Ron is interesting. I'll never forget, you guys, when I was covering actually all the Monica Lewinsky stuff, I was actually in Cuba. I was covering Pope John Paul, who was in Cuba at that visit, and the word broke that the president had an affair. And I remember everybody was going, what? Like, everybody in Cuba was like, are you kidding me? Fidel has like 30 wives, you know, and 30 girlfriends. And you're right. It's sort of this, again, I don't think it's a good, I think you should be faithful, Ron, that maybe I'm a little old school in that regard.
Well,
but I don't know of too many foreign leaders who don't have a little dalliance, Curtis.
Ron doesn't strike me as a holy roller, charismatic. But
the rest of the world is going, wait a minute, you're spending time on Trump cheating
right.
on his wife, and this is what it comes down to?
Who are Trump's biggest supporters? The holy rollers, the evangelicals, who every Sunday from the pulpit, fire and brimstone, you're not to cheat on your wife, you're not to have sex out of marriage.
But they still say he's a better choice than others.
So
that's what they're saying.
So then they are lying.
No, they say he's not a perfect man.
No, wait a second.
That's what they say.
No.
Oh, that is what they say, Curtis.
No. That's a lie. You cannot tell your constituents that's a sin to have sex out of marriage and then forgive the president who to this day won't admit it.
Well,
he will not admit it.
I didn't know you were there. I didn't know you know so much, Curtis. You were there?
The Holy Rollers Evangelicals.
You don't know it's
true.
You do not even know if that's true.
Donald Trump is our savior. Donald Trump is the man who needs to be president no matter what he does. I expect the Holy Rollers and the evangelicals to also sigh in the fact that
not admitted to that yet, Curtis. You
come
don't
on,
know what's on, going on
it,
here.
It,
come
it,
on.
It. Are you so hopelessly naive?
No,
this guy was stupid.
You are so hopelessly against President Trump.
One simple question.
On a mission, baby.
One simple question. Do you believe that Donald Trump stooped these two women?
I don't know that. I don't know. You don't either.
Let's
I wasn't in the room.
Let's get our news headlines and updates.
America!
Curtis Sliwa.
From the street perspective, Curtis Sliwa.
Rita Cosby.
Please welcome Rita Cosby.
Curtis and Cosby.
The new Midday Show. Streaming now. WABCRadio.com.
Some tough choices for President Trump. To decide who will be his chief of staff, of course, General John Kelly leaving, being pushed out. And now it's apparently narrowed down to five people. And this is what the president had to say a little bit about where he's going.
We're interviewing people now for chief of staff, yes.
How long is the shortlist now?
Five people. Really good ones. Terrific people. Mostly well-known, but terrific people.
Now, one name that in literally the last few minutes has come out, everybody, sort of some breaking news update on this, is that former New Jersey Governor Chris Christie, and we know him well in this area, he was said to be the leading contender, and now he is out of the race. There he is, Curtis. I knew you'd have to hear that sound. We had to play it just for you, baby.
We're not going to believe this malarkey. He goes to have a sit down with the president in the West Wing,
yes,
seeking to become chief of staff.
Yesterday, and then in 24 hours later, he said, I'm withdrawn.
Because he knows he's not the choice. And listen to the excuse he gives. He says, I didn't want to do this to my family. I didn't want to take time away from them. The job of chief of staff is obviously very time consuming and exhausting, which it is, especially
it is.
If you're with Donald Trump. But the point is, he wanted to take this sit down. He wanted to be attorney general. He wanted to be Homeland Security czar. He wanted to be the drug czar. He wanted to be the ambassador to Italy. They wouldn't even give him that.
And you contend the reason is because of a voice that we often hear on the show, too, a little bit, because of Jared Kushner. And you contend it's because of the bad blood, because, of course, Chrissy prosecuted the charges against Kushner's father, who spent some time in the slammer, and that there is bad blood. I also think, I actually don't think Chris Christie would have been a good choice for chief of staff for the president. I actually think he would not have been a good choice. I don't see Chris Christie wanting to be like, yes, sir, what else can I do for you, sir? Because the chief of staff job, you're basically an assistant.
Might I disagree with
you, Rita? You're a high-profile assistant.
There was that one event in which they were all in Columbus, Ohio, the entire Trump family and entourage. They had just left the stage preparing to go on Trump Air, and they fetched El Jefe, Chris Christie, Shamu, to the local Mickey D's to get them all McDonald's.
Oh, no.
Quarter pounders with cheese, supersized fries.
And are you going to say that the president said we don't
Diet
that's
Cokes.
Too much?
No, he ate it up, half of it on the way back. That's why they got so pissed at him.
Oh, so that's the reason.
Yes.
I thought it had something else. I didn't know it was the El Stomaco.
Oh, he so desperately wanted to be chief of staff. He wanted that originally.
But I don't think that would have been a good choice. So let's put it out for our listeners. I actually think that Chris Christie, I don't see him being a high-profile gopher. It's 1-800-848-9222, 1-800-848-9222. Who do you think, everybody, would be the best chief of staff? Do you think Chris Christie really? I do think he clearly wanted it because he went in for the interview.
Doubt. There's no doubt. Remember.
There's something else to the story. Like, I think he knew
Jared
he wasn't
Kushner.
The top.
It's Jared. No.
Well, looks like everybody's here.
No. Don't do it, Donald. I'm your loyal son-in-law. I'm the one who made the connection with the crown prince in Saudi Arabia. It's me, Jared. No, don't do that.
You are so bad.
It's all about Jared.
Yeah, and word is Jared is obviously the sort of number two choice.
Oh, yeah, that'd be a tough guy to get through, right? Jared Kushner, right? Would you hire him as somebody to watch your nightclub to sort of queue up the people outside of the nightclub?
Nightclub. But I think for other things, he might be a good chief of
Crown
staff
Prince,
for the president.
Come on, right on in. High five the president. He did a good job in knocking off Khashoggi. Our number is 1-800-848-WABC. That's 1-800-848-9222. But let's look at the timeline. Transition team. Donald Trump unexpectedly elected president. Immediately puts the transition team together. Who headed it? First, Governor Chris Christie.
Yes.
Then he was taken out, and it was Pence who was put in charge. That was very insulting to Chris Christie. We know why he was taken out of that position, because of Jared Kushner. He put in his request to be attorney general. As much as I hate to see Chris Christie as attorney general,
I think he would have been a great attorney general.
Yeah, his first indictment would be from me for fat-shaming him as Shamu El Jefe Chris Christie. But he would have made a much better attorney general than Jeff Beauregard Sessions. Again, Jared Kushner does an intervention, says no to his father-in-law. He wanted to be Homeland Security czar. No to his father-in-law.
There's more to it than that, Curtis. Because if that were the case, then he never would have even really had the meeting. I think he still feels there's something there. Clearly, the president still has some sort of affinity to Christie because he's still in the running.
He goes there and he bucks and bows to the president and he said, look, Jared Kushner's father is out of jail now. He's swindling millions of dollars again in real estate. He's a con artist extraordinaire. He didn't learn his lesson from doing Fed time
you
and Camp
so
Fed in
bad,
Alabama.
Curtis.
Remember, this is the guy. You got to understand, Rita, how diabolical he was, Jared Kushner's dad.
I know what you're going to do. You're going to talk about the tape again.
He went after his brother-in-law, and he taped him. He set him up with a prostitute in a hotel room. He had four separate cameras.
So maybe
he took the videotape and sent it to his own sister.
Maybe also the brother-in-law shouldn't be with a prostitute. That could be a little bit of a problem. Maybe there's a little dirt to go around there.
That wasn't the reason. Gosh, it was because they had soured on a business deal together. And actually, Jared.
Oh, so let's go out and celebrate with prostitutes and cheat on my wife. Sounds like a real loyal guy.
The loyal son, Jared, who is going to inherit the millions of dollars swindled by his dad. Let's go to Neil, who's calling from Brooklyn. Welcome to Curtis and Rita Cosby here on WABC. Neil.
Hi, Neil.
Well, again, how you doing, both? You both hit it on the nail again. That's the reason why he didn't get the job.
But me much more than Curtis, right? Me much more than Curtis.
Yes.
Thank you. I love you, Neil. Love you, baby.
But that's what they did. I mean, that's why he can't get a job. Every time he shows up, he wants something so bad. But, you know, I think he should just stick to eating and go on that diet.
You're talking about Chris. See, I think Chris Christie. No, I know. I'm saying, Neil, I think Chris Christie would not have been a good chief of staff. He definitely is a better bouncer.
How is he going to get up that early in the morning and go to bed that late at night? They'll have a heart attack.
Oh, he has a lot of energy, though, Neil. I just don't think he's a yes man. And you need someone who's much more. I think after a few days, he maybe liked the cachet of being in the White House. He's not a yes man.
Kelly was not a yes man, and he actually shaped up the White House after Rinse Out Priebus was shown the door, who was a yes man. So you need somebody who is going to contrast the president. Mr. President, look at who you have on your schedule now.
Well, you need someone who he respects.
You can't be meeting with your former friend.
He needs someone that could say yes or no.
And give him honest advice. Right. Someone who he can say, you know what, maybe it's not a good idea to do this meeting. But also someone he trusts, someone who will carry out his message and not have their own agenda.
Well, he does trust Jared Kushner. There's no doubt. His son-in-law, because his son-in-law has been nothing but trouble for the Trump administration, yet he loves Jared Kushner because he'll buffalo him.
And he's married to his daughter.
He can buffalo Jared Kushner. So can you imagine Jared? I'm the chief of staff. Get out of here, kid.
You are
smack
so
him in the face. Tell him, get out of the way.
But if that is the criterion, I disagree with you on Jared, but if that's the criteria, you don't have someone who you can buffalo. You got to have someone. I actually like John Kelly being in there. There he is. I mean, certainly a very well-respected veteran guy, someone who seemed to have the trust of the president, not a blabbermouth, not someone who wanted his own little star. I actually thought he was good for the president.
When you say blabbermouth, we'll find out. Time and time again will recall for us who were the leakers and who weren't the leakers, and Kelly might have turned out to be a leaker.
So who would be the best choice for chief of staff, everybody, now that Chris Christie in the last few minutes has pulled his name out? It's 1-800-848-9222, 1-800-848-9222.
Is Shamu El Jefe Chris Christie, is he swimming back from the Potomac River all the way to the Jersey Shore, Seaside Heights?
That's a long swim, I think, for even Mark Spitz.
Well, it's a little warmer out there today.
I think even Mark Spitz would have a hard time with
that. Let's go to Giuseppe Joey, who's calling from Staten Island.
Hi, guys. I just want to say that President Trump is the most transparent president the United States has ever had. And you have to give him a lot of credit for that.
I think he will be reelected, Joe. What do you think?
100%. 100%.
I think at this moment, if it were held today, he would be reelected. A lot can change, but I think he would be reelected.
Nothing is going to happen to him. The media is going to try and bring him down, but he's way ahead of them. He always was.
Yeah, way ahead of them. Yeah, sure. On this one, with the Cohen situation, he was way ahead of them, right, Joe?
Yes, because the Cohen situation really amounts to nothing.
Oh, really? Excuse me, Joe. So you know what's on the tapes. You know the documents that Mueller has from Cohen, right? You know.
All the other politicians are doing the same thing.
Joe, it's not about other politicians. Joe, that's not how you adjudicate in court. It isn't that everyone else is doing it. It's that you got caught. Do you realize everybody goes into court and says, everybody does this. Why am I the one? Why are you picking on me? If they got the goods on you, they got the goods on you, Joe. They're not interested that everybody else does it.
It's not a crime what happened, okay?
What was it? There's more to go, Joe. Relax. Relax. Remember, it was Giuliani. Giuliani who told us, it was like a year and a half ago. Oh, they got me on board. I know Mueller. He's my kumbadichich. This investigation will be over in weeks. Ma quan amai.
Yeah, that means hog feathers. I'll translate for everybody.
Anyway,
I'll translate.
Let's go to Pete, who's calling from Shrewsbury. Welcome to Curtis and Rita Cosby, Pete.
Hey, Pete, are you calling from Shrewsbury, Mass?
Yes, sir. No, New Jersey.
New Shrewsbury, New Jersey. There's a Shrewsbury, Mass, too, baby. All right, go ahead.
I never knew that.
Yeah.
Rita, I always do take your side on most of these issues, But this one I got to give to Curtis, 100%.
Why?
Yeah, I really have to give it to Curtis.
Yes, you got to tell me why, baby.
The Kushner thing, too tight. It's too tight to have him in there all the time because Darren's going to have to be there in the meetings, and it's just going to be too much animosity going on the whole way.
But what does that mean? It still could be, you know, his word versus the president. The president could say, listen, if it turns out that, yeah, he knew of some payment, he said, I just wanted to protect my family. You know, come on, that could work, Pete.
I don't know. It's tough. It's tough because every time you're going to look, you're going to sit in the same office and meeting together.
Yeah, and the other
we're
thing
losing
is,
Pete a little
Pete,
bit there.
Whoever is the chief of staff will definitely be investigated by the House. We know that. And may be investigated by Mueller.
Well, also, by the way, and I do think that that's part of the reason, Curtis, we know that John Kelly has had some discussion, according to some reports, already with Mueller.
Yeah, but can you imagine Jared Kushner being swept down by these folks?
Hey, little guys can also, you know,
yeah,
be tough.
I'm Jared Kushner.
You should
I'm
know better
guy.
Than anybody that it's not always the big guys that are the tough guys. They sometimes
this
fall
guy
quicker.
This guy is a Mama Luke. This guy will fold. You do not put all your chips in the basket of Jared Kushner, because if all of a sudden
maybe
saying,
he has nothing to fold on.
Yeah,
you don't
really,
know that, baby.
Really.
You do not know that.
If they threaten to indict him, watch how he gives up his father-in-law. 1-800-848-WABC. You got these porch monkeys following delivery trucks, snatching packages off of every conceivable place they're put. And now in Jersey City, they're claiming, hey, we're going to defend Amazon and Bezos. We're going to catch him. Really? They're doing it everywhere, and we'll break it down to you how it goes up next. Seven minutes after the hour 2. Been caught stealing. Well, some have, most haven't. And it's a phenomenon that's been growing every holiday season when most of the packages, most presents, most pieces of mail are delivered throughout the United States. And it has to do with the phenomenon of the porch pirate, or as I call them, porch monkeys. They're whites, they're blacks, they're Hispanics, they're Asians, they're gypsies, there's teenagers, there's middle-aged guys and gals, there's elderly guys and gals who've been caught doing this. What they'll do is they'll follow a UPS truck or a USPS truck, United States Postal Service, or a FedEx truck, or any kind of a delivery truck that's delivering packages, and many of them have to be left outside of somebody's house. Or maybe if you can't get complete access into an apartment building to the apartment, they'll be left in the foyer, the lobby of the building. And then all of a sudden, these people who are following, they snatch up the packages. And there have been huge reports of this throughout Westchester, through parts of New Jersey, throughout the Mid-Hudson Valley, and even in the five boroughs of the city of New York. It's a growing problem, but Jersey City has decided that's it. We're drawing the Maginot Line to these porch pirates. And the Jersey City Police Department says that they're on them.
We use a GPS tracking device, and the detectives will come in the morning and they'll make up some boxes. These boxes came directly from Amazon using packing tape, using labels, the actual labels that come out of Amazon.
So they're using technology here.
I think it's brilliant, Curtis. I love this idea because I think how terrible, especially at holiday season, you're expecting a gift. And I don't think it's anything worse when you sit there and there was that case of the famous video. I think it was a woman who stole a package, who was going to get a package. It was too heavy for her. Then she comes back with it was like a big van.
Yeah, yeah.
And had people helping her. I mean, the cojones of these people.
Well, more packages are being delivered because more of you are surfing online, buying your products, whether it's Amazon, Walmart, or any other distributor. And they're being left on your porch. They're being left at your front door. They're being left in the foyer, the lobby of your building. And you're coming home, and you've tracked it, and you said, they tell you it's there. It was dropped off at like 1:30 this afternoon, and you're saying it's 5:30 tonight. And, you know, in those four-hour period of time, it's not there. And sometimes the only way they're ever able to remedy that is to look at video if, in fact, there are cameras on the property. But the Jersey City Police are going one better.
It will pop up onto the screen. Then I can enhance this map and actually watch the device and see which direction it travels.
So they are literally creating a fake, phony, fraudulent Amazon box.
I wonder if they put, like, you know, like expensive, do not touch, you know, these little things or a little ribbon, something, so you go, God, that looks really
probably
special.
Probably putting bricks in
right.
the box.
That looks so, it's big. It's like, you know, oh, God, that's got to be a bike or
right.
that's got to be something really good.
Right. And then tracking them. And even Mayor Fulop there, the hipster millennial, former graduate of Goldman Sachs, Fulop said it happened right on his block.
I live on Ogden Avenue. I said, what number, out of curiosity? And they said the number next door to where I live. So being that I had stuff stolen a couple weeks ago, I'm happy they made an arrest there.
Now, that's up in Jersey Heights. That's in the Heights. That's where he lives. That's where our old news guy next door lived, Noam Layden.
Oh, wow.
So you think
wow.
it was
that's
Noam
right,
Layden who
that's
got
right.
his Amazon packages stolen?
Maybe. You
schmuck
never know.
For using Amazon. Anyway, ladies and gentlemen, if you've seen this phenomenon or you've been a victim of the phenomenon, the many porch pirates who are descending upon the tri-state area, give us a call. Or if you happen to be a member of law enforcement and you've seen this phenomenon grow, 1-800-848-WABC. That's 1-800-848-9222.
Curtis, this is the first one, by the way, of its kind on the East Coast. And I love that, this is sort of a, pilot program. And what's brilliant is, I mean, it's so funny. They actually have something that's called the heat map. And Jersey City actually said, okay, here is the area that has been most likely targeted. They treated it like, you know, like a SWAT team recon mission.
Exchange
you know?
Place, where all the hedge monsters are.
Right.
Columbus Drive, where hipsters and millennials are moving in like our own Christian up in the Heights. That can go on
yeah,
and
those,
on.
Yeah, those all
on.
Those areas. And they know, you know, thieves know, you know, what's the hot spot to go after. And so they pinpoint these. I say this is brilliant, but just to give you an idea of how quick they caught somebody, they started the program within 8 minutes. They got somebody. I mean, that's how pervasive
well, that's a sting.
This is.
That's a sting. But
I love
again,
that.
For every one porch pirate that they sting and they take out of business, whether it's a family of gypsies or it's a isolated incident involving one or two mostly young men, they continue. This is a growing problem.
Although, Curtis, that video was that woman. That's what's so surprising is that it's like, there was like a grandma in one picture. This was a young woman, the one I remember, that video that went viral of her coming back and getting a bigger vehicle. I mean, to me, I think it's brilliant. And I think, especially for you guys in law enforcement, guys and gals, don't you hope something like this, and even just announcing it, not even necessarily catching them in the act, I think just announcing it, hopefully will people, you know, put these scumbags on edge.
1-800-848-WABC, but as we're high atop Madison Square Garden and the great facilities provided to us in order to do this broadcast to all of you by NJDiet.com, it doesn't stop at porch pirates following delivery trucks. There's the old-fashioned fishing in mailboxes. And this has plagued Patterson. This has plagued Glendale and Queens, Bayside and Queens, you name it. Mostly residential areas where oftentimes senior citizens will deliver their mail. And obviously it's important. Sometimes it's checks. Sometimes it's
yes.
other documentation of great importance. And the fishers actually create like a fishing pole. And they put it in the mailbox, the blue mailbox that's on a corner, and they fish out the mail.
So sick.
And then all of a sudden you're thinking, oh, United States Postal Service, those slackers, those deadbeats, they probably never delivered the mail. It's probably in some mail deliverer's garage. We're always hearing stories like that. Some gold brick delivery guy never delivered like sacks and sacks of mail.
How about people
that's
that put,
a growing
how
problem.
About people who put mean things in the mailboxes? Curtis, I think all of us as kids did some pretty, I think I left some things in mailboxes of neighbors that I've never confessed to.
Well, let's go to the phones, 1-800-848-WABC. Let's go to Billy, who's calling from Baldwin. Welcome to Curtis and Rita Cosby. Billy.
Hi, Bill.
Yeah, how's it going?
Good. What do you think?
I had to say, I'm a retired police lieutenant. I'm going,
hey,
if you rob somebody.
Bravo, by the way. Thank you for your service. We love the cops. Right? Thank you.
Thank you. And I'm going, if you rob somebody, now you're leaving witnesses behind. And you could, you know, like, and if they arrest you, you're gonna get in big trouble. You're in serious trouble. But if you steal this stuff off people's porches, it's the crime. It's like a misdemeanor, and they're just not gonna do anything to you. So there's no punishment for it. It's a great crime. That's what
I think, Bill, the adjudication of it is based on the value of the product you steal. That if it is a expensive item, you could get hit with a felony. But you're right. Most of these crimes, you get charged with a misdemeanor.
That's interesting. It's interesting that it is still a misdemeanor because it's theft. But it's like as if you struck at Macy's or something like that.
Steal somebody's Apple phone, you know, and that could be considered a felony. Steal Christian's Obama phone, and they'll write you out a ticket for that.
Yeah, but if you take anything that's Christian's, it's very low value. So that would be a misdemeanor.
1-800-848-WABC. Let's go to Charlie in Brooklyn. Welcome to Curtis and Rita Cosby. Charlie.
Yeah, how you doing, Curtis? Curtis, you know, they got these new mailboxes now. You can't fish anymore. You can barely put a thin piece of paper through. You can't put a package through.
Well, no, you're talking about how they've retrofitted it the way they sometimes put spikes on a building to prevent pigeons from nesting there.
Or put like a mousetrap in when they put their hand in it, like clamps down.
No, but I got to tell you, Charlie, they've worked their way through that. They figured it out.
Okay, Curtis, thank you.
All right.
He sounded really thrilled.
Well, the United States Postal Service did respond, and they retrofitted a lot of these mailboxes.
Curtis, Charlie's going to take a nap, I think, after that call.
I think so. 1-800-848-WABC. Let's go to Hal, who's calling from Freeport. Welcome to Curtis and Rita Cosby. Hal?
Hey, guys. How you doing?
Hal, you got a lot more energy than our last caller. Thank you.
All you got to do is put a couple of snakes in there, in the box.
No, what kind of snakes? What would you suggest?
You mean like married men who cheat on their wives? Put them in there?
Moccasin snakes.
Oh, yeah, that
would
be good.
Oh, those kind of snakes. Okay. I thought you meant like guys who are cheating on their wives around the holiday time. That's what snakes.
No, poisonous snakes. That'd be good.
Yeah, poisonous snakes. Hey, listen, you know, we were just at the library. I got a little off-color joke, so if you knock off the ending, it's maybe just for you guys.
Wait. We can't do that. Try to, if it's R, make it like a little bit of PG plus 13 for the ending.
No. Go the whole nine yards. We'll bleep you if it's bad.
I'm going to PG it. Okay.
Go ahead.
We were at the library, and they got toys for tots. You know, that's putting stuff in there.
Yeah.
Somebody put what the women use, those rabbits, you know.
Yeah, the dildos.
Yeah.
Wait a minute. How come I'm a woman and I've never heard it referred to as rabbits before?
Well,
but you and Curtis know.
Grandma.
No, nice woman. A nice woman. You finally found one.
When you have those Tupperware parties, Hal, you know, and it's all dildos, that's like the number one most desired item is the rabbit.
That's why I stayed away from Tupperware.
And what happened with the rabbit, right, it was a girl's birthday. So accidentally we had a big party. So I had a used rabbit. I wrapped it up. I put it in a box and for a joke. And she kept it. I was embarrassed to keep giving it back.
Well, of course she's going to keep it. That's the hottest item in terms of sexual aids that are out there available to women now, Hal. And some guys will use it, too.
I have never heard of it referred to as a rabbit.
Yeah, rabbit.
And to me, don't get me that for Christmas, Curtis, for the record, all right?
No chance. 1-800-848-WABC. Let's go to Steve in Queens. Welcome to WABC, Stevie.
Thanks for taking my call, guys.
Thanks, Steve.
Real quick, I think they should put those explosive dye packs in the boxes with the GPS. So if they open it quickly to see if there's a GPS in it and throw it out.
Oh, I love that.
It would explode, and it would get stuff all over them anyway. So it would make it even more undesirable.
I love that. That is actually a brilliant idea. So there's like a shaming. And what would be good, Steve, is if that dye could stay on your face like a scarlet letter for a few weeks at least. That would be even better.
I think they use them in banks or stuff like that.
Steve, why haven't they been doing any of this? It's been a problem now for 2 years. It's a growing problem. But you know something? Amazon just writes it off, you know, the way you would if you had a brick-and-mortar store and it was a shoplifter who came in. They just say it's the price of doing business. We'll just send them a new package.
But now they're finally clamping down.
Well, they have to.
Yeah, they got to.
It's so systemic. It's happening all over the place.
By the way, they say 1 in 12, again, Americans. And in Jersey City alone, Curtis, 400 to 500 packages. I mean, that is stunning. And it's mean. It's Grinchy at Christmas, guys.
Nah, because
wrong.
They know it's hipsters and millennials in Jersey City now, so they're going to have high-end items in those
boxes. Well, that's why, like, Williamsburg and a lot of other areas got to be on the lookout.
1-800-848-WABC. Let's go to Richard in New Jersey. Welcome to Curtis and Rita Cosby. Rich?
Oh, thank you for taking my call. I was going to say that when I get a delivery, they don't even ring the bell. So I don't even know there is a package out there. So if somebody is following these trucks, they can just follow them and pick it up because they're not telling me to open my door and get the package.
Well, that's why you need like a little surveillance or something like that, Rich. That's the other and they are doing some dummy sort of doorbells sort of with surveillance. So I think you need to call the folks there at Jersey City and ask for some help.
Why can't they just ring my doorbell and I can open the door and take the package in my house?
They're busy.
You would think, Richard, that makes common sense.
But they're busy. They got to drink their eggnog and everything
else.
Do
you really think that Jeff Bezos cares about this? Come on, Rich. You really think he cares about this?
Okay.
He writes it off.
Okay.
He writes it off. Hey, it's the price of doing business.
Okay. Rich is accepting that answer. He said, okay.
It's true. He's got no touch of the common man or common woman, how outraged, how furious they are, and how by not cracking down, other people watch it. They watch these porch pirates, and they say, wow, so that's how you do it. You just follow the delivery trucks. The delivery men or the delivery women, they just sometimes toss the box.
That's what I was going to say. Most of the time, Curtis, it's almost like they're like a major league pitcher. They're like throwing the bag. They're sitting and having lunch in the truck and throwing
it. Like I used to toss a newspaper up on the stoop early in the morning. They toss it and they go, and they don't even bother to look back. 1-800-848-WABC. Let's go to Kevin in New Jersey. Welcome to Curtis and Rita, Kev.
Hi, Kev.
Hey, guys. First time caller. I love your show. How you guys doing?
We're doing great, Kev. What do you think?
I want to let you know there is a viral video. You guys got to take a look at it, where a guy repackages a box and he puts feces in it. And it explodes, and it's all caught on, like, you know, those ring doorbells?
Yeah.
Catch the video? So this guy steals the package, he gets down the block, and his box of crap blows up all
over. Woo! I love that. That man is a hero, the guy who put it in there.
Right. So forget the dye pack. Let's go with the door poop.
The door poop.
Right.
DP, door poop.
You can imagine some guy that it happens to will claim, I've been traumatized. You know, every time I see dog poop.
Every time I see a dog.
I become incontinent. I'm impotent. You know, I have nightmares and such.
And leaving out the part that he's a ball-faced thief.
Let's go to Joey, who's calling from Brooklyn. Welcome to Curtis and Rita Cosby. Giuseppe.
How are you? Listen, I used to work for a newspaper, major newspaper, a couple of them, different ones. I'm retired. You would throw off your bundles. You know, stores were closed at 4 o'clock in the morning. I went out once with 50 or 55 deliveries, and like 30, 40 of them got clipped in one night. This is something that's been going on.
Yeah, they clipped the paper. I remember as a newspaper boy, that would happen to me. And when I caught the guy doing it, I just put his knuckles right on the curb of the street there that separates the asphalt from the sidewalk, and I would stomp on his hand, and then he'd wear a cast.
I needed you, Curtis, when I delivered papers. You know, I was a paper gal at age 12, but I did have a couple big guys up the street who had a crush on me. I pulled them in.
You gotta put a cast on him. That's how the word gets out.
It's not as easy for a gal.
Don't mess with my paper route. 1-800-848-WABC.
The best contacts. The Red Berets are helping the cities in fear. The best sources.
Rita, that was an explosive interview.
Chasing it down. Curtis and Cosby, 77 WABC.
I love Bruce Springsteen. Boy, is this guy hot. Boy, is he on a roll. It is 2:38 here on 77 WABC. And everybody's talking about his Broadway show, which is a huge hit. Huge, huge hit. I mean, he had more than 200 performances on Broadway, and the tickets were going for big, big bucos. And even Arthur Idala, who's often on Bernie and Sid, was talking about it. He got a chance to see it.
Arthur Idala
Who knows all these guys?
Thanks for all the Bruce this morning.
I know you love Bruce, too.
I saw him on Broadway twice. I saw the show twice. I saw it two Thursdays ago.
What'd you think?
Well, if you're a real Bruce fan, then you love it.
Right.
Absolutely. He's so human. You feel like he makes you... When you're in a stadium with him with 90,000 people, you feel like he's in your living room.
Yeah.
When you're 40 feet away from him.
Very intimate setting, right.
What a sycophantodian like you. Get out of here. You're 90,000 people. You feel the same way that you do by getting ripped off for $1,000 a ticket to see him on Broadway. Really?
Or more.
Come on, $9. What drug-induced psychosis do you think everyone else is on? But then again, this is the same Artie Idala who went to the mayor's Christmas party and kissed his big fat tuchus and told Bernie and Sid about it this morning. That's a double o disgrace.
But wait, but Arthur also, you're just taking it out on Arthur because you and his mother are having a fight because she went after you for saying Mario
Springsteen.
You know?
I have been consistent. I hate this guy. I loathe his music, and the fact that he rips off the residents, the hardcore working class residents of places like Freehold, where he originally was from, not the 1% as a Rumson, because he declares his property to be farmland. He's Farmer Bruce Springsteen, so he gets a reduction on the property taxes.
He is a superstar. I love Bruce. This is what we could have seen, Curtis, had we gone. Arthur's gone twice.
I would never go.
Here's a little flavor. This guy's good.
It united our town, just like our clanging rug mill. In a common sensory experience, there was a place here. You could hear it. You could smell it.
Yeah, what I smell is the scandal that this guy is bilking from all these sycophants, toadies, and lackeys.
He is a talent. So who do you guys agree with, me or Curtis? Is he a talent or is he a ripoff artist? It's 1-800-848-9222, 1-800-848-9222.
I got to tell you this. As much as I don't like Bon Jovi either.
I love Bon Jovi.
I would, if I had a gun to my head.
Yeah, and by the way, there are a number of people who would like that to happen.
If I had a gun to my head and the person said, you've got a choice, you either go see Bon Jovi or you go see Farmer Bruce Springsteen, I would go and sit through Bon Jovi.
What if somebody said
enjoy it?
What if somebody said you could have dinner with Barry Manilow? What would you say?
Oh God! If he gets another facelift, his face will snap like an old rubber band.
Oh my God! So right, so Curtis,
it's a horrible looking guy.
Don't fret, by the way. Don't fret that you miss Bruce Springsteen. Because now he is coming to Netflix.
Oh,
so
Netflix.
Now he will really be in your face and you'll really feel like he's in the living room. Again, everybody, I say bravo. Curtis says he stinks. But don't fear. The director, Tommy Zinni, is doing a Netflix special. It's coming out very soon, December 16th. And here's a little bit why.
And I remember John turning to me and saying the most frustrating part of the cutting process was trying to figure out which shot to grab because there were so many choices with those two nights. And I had a team of cinematographers, and we had worked together, and I had storyboarded certain moments that I wanted to be a certain way.
Oh, so patronizing.
It's beautiful. You know, he's about the manager, John Lando, by the way.
Oh, yeah, Bruce. Oh, idolatry,
Bruce
right?
is so good. And listen, I'm just going to play a little bit of one of my favorite songs of Bruce,
gosh.
Because you know I'm a patriotic kind of gal.
Bruce Springsteen.
Look, here it is. Who doesn't love Born in the USA, baby? Come
you know what
on.
This is?
That is red, white, and blue, baby. Red, white, and blue.
Ronald Reagan asked that this song be played for the opening of the L.A. Olympics, which the Russians boycotted, in retaliation for our boycott by Jimmy Carter.
I'm aware of that, but I still
and
love the song, baby.
You know what this song is about? It's not about love of America.
It doesn't matter. That's how we interpret it.
That's right. You don't even listen to the words. You just like the beat, right?
I do. I got some good dance moves.
The people who say, yeah, I like the beat, you know, the woofers and tweeters on rap music, but, you know, I don't listen to the words.
Okay,
listen to the words.
All right.
It's anti-American born in the USA.
How is it anti-American?
Rita?
All right, you explain it. How is that anti?
Anti-war.
No, but maybe it is. I agree with you. It is anti-war, but it's not anti-American.
Well, excuse me, who fought the war?
You know what? There's a lot of things that are anti-war, but that doesn't mean they're anti-American.
You and a lot of other schmucks out there who are sycophants of Bruce Springsteen.
You just hate him. You are looking for terrible things for my Bruce.
To the music. Born in the USA is not
baby.
A patriotic song.
You know what? I agree. I don't like the anti-war message, but I love the beat. And when you play it, you think of the great things. I think of the great things this country is, and that makes me happy.
I think how he rips
And I think
off,
he's a local boy
made state of New Jersey claims he has farmland when, in fact, he uses that as a property tax
reduction.
And
I think of all the great work he does for veterans, and I also think what a great lyricist. Love him, love him, love him, baby.
Yeah, him and Stevie Van Zandt there.
Love
anyway,
him,
let's
baby.
Go to Anthony in Staten Island. Welcome to Curtis and Rita Cosby, Anthony.
Hi, Ant.
Yeah, hi. Springsteen is definitely overrated. The guy, he really is.
He's got talent, Anthony. You telling me he's like trailer
talent.
Park trash?
That's it, please. Are you kidding me?
Oh, Anthony, let's hear you sing Born in the USA, all right? Let's hear a little bit of that from you.
No, no, not Born in the USA. He did maybe three good songs he did, you know?
Oh, that's it. They just happened to be number one hits for the, because everybody's stupid.
And it was,
but Anthony is brilliant.
See if you can
Anthony's
find.
Anthony's a sycophant.
My hometown. He sounds like he's got a bellyache, like he needs Geritol.
No, Anthony sounds like a real talent manager.
Let's go to Tom, who's calling from New York. Welcome to Curtis and Rita Cosby here on WABC. Tommy.
Hey, Tommy, baby.
How you doing, sweetheart?
Tommy, I love that. Look,
bounds on this.
Hey, Tom, can I ask you, when you said sweetheart, were you talking to me or Curtis?
Sweetie, you.
Thank you. All right, just had to clarify.
Excuse me, I'm sorry.
In this day and age, you got to ask.
Maybe. I went Wednesday, paid $2,400 a seat.
Oh, you are a real, you got ripped off. $2,400.
Hey, Tommy, Curtis's beret is elevating about 10 feet when he heard $2,400.
You are the definition of a putz.
Yes. He was tremendous. You have no taste in music, my friend.
Woo! I'm with you, Tom.
I bet you he took breaks to tell you stories, right?
He did. That's part of the charm.
No. You know why they take breaks now. You know why they take breaks,
my hometown,
Tom. He's not alone. As artists get older, they can't sing straight through their sets.
What, they have to go to the bathroom?
No. They tell you stories. They give you little vignettes. It gives them a chance to re-energize.
I thought you were going to have to say he needed Depends or something.
I'll bet you, Tom, he told you a story about his Irish father, right?
He did, about his dad and mom.
All right.
His mom had a lot of
right, and his mom.
Problems, yes.
Right, and he says the same story each and every night, never a variation.
Oh, nobody does that. No artist
I
does that,
that but that's
Come
so that,
on.
That, so that he can get his breath back, get his energy back, so that he can get into his next set of
Curtis,
songs, Tom.
Curtis, you're talking about somebody who gives four-hour concerts.
Yeah, come on, he's 69 years old, guys.
Well, and how much did you spend, Tom?
$2,400 plus $2,400 for a buddy.
Oh,
hey,
well,
Tom,
buddy. That must be quite a buddy. Is that?
Yeah, we're pretty close.
Hey, Tommy, let me ask you, Tom,
yes.
Before Curtis really flips the lid, because I always love to get under his skin. Would you have paid $3,400 for it?
Probably, but not much more.
All right, see?
Stop beating
it,
right?
I knew it,
so
baby.
So then you'd be more of a moron.
No, that man is a brilliant man, spending his money
brilliant
wisely.
Man, right. Let's go to Mike in New Jersey. Welcome
I love
to Curtis
Tommy.
And Rita Cosby here on WABC. Mikey.
Hey, Mikey.
Hey, how you doing?
We're doing great. I'm happy to be able to play a little bit of Bruce Springsteen in the background.
Well,
I love it.
I just have to correct you really quick. Listen, I love you to death, but Bruce Springsteen, Born in the USA, is 100% anti-American.
No, there is, by the way, there is definitely an anti-war message, but when I hear it, I am, let me ask you though, when you hear Born in the USA, I will tell you, artistry, there's a lot of music out there that I don't like. But I still like the lyrics.
Country,
I like the
Country
beat.
Joe and the Fish, Mike. Why don't you applaud Country Joe and the Fish, right?
What about Pink Floyd? What about the guy from Pink Floyd? Everything is anti-war.
I understand, but
it doesn't
Rita,
mean you don't listen to Pink
Rita,
Floyd.
Absolutely.
Even Ronald Reagan didn't realize that Born in the USA was an anti-American song.
Because he was battling Alzheimer's.
Exactly.
Right.
But you should know better.
If you you listen to the words it's clear.
I know that the anti-war, I know the story, guys.
Yeah, but most people don't.
The point is, it still is, I hear it, and I hear red, white, and blue, baby. That's what I hear.
Even though it's anti-American.
Red, white, and blue, baby.
The only red, white, and blue. Red, white, and blue. That Springsteen cares about is the scat all that he takes from all you suckers.
So he likes green in addition to red, white, and blue.
Let's go to Lou in Staten Island. Welcome to Curtis and Rita Cosby, Lou.
Wow. Hi, guys.
Hi, Lou. So, Lou, are you on my side or the guy with the red beret?
I have to apologize, but I'm with the red beret.
Oh!
It's absolutely garbage.
Lou, you are breaking my heart, baby.
Listen, I've been a musician since I was... I picked up a guitar when I was 5 years old. My grandfather taught me how to play. I got to say, on a talent level, he really doesn't have it, but it's more... It's not really that... It's more his political stuff. Like, when you go to a concert, you want to be entertained by the music that you went there to hear the performer play. You don't want to listen to how to vote or who to, you know, donate your money to.
Lou, I agree with you on that.
Rants. And I'm sorry, but a friend of mine was trying to save Asbury Park. He was in a society. They were trying to collect money. And he told me they went to Bruce, and Bruce's lawyer said, it wasn't the right political climate for him to help donate.
That's not good. By the way, I do not like it when artists
that's
get
right.
political.
Hey, Lou, he wouldn't even donate the write-off he gets on his property for that fake consideration that he actually grows crops. Farmer Bruce Springsteen.
You know what? I don't listen to music for the sake of who's behind it. I listen to just for the sound,
the biggest
for the beat.
Sucker.
Come on.
The biggest sucker of all in terms of all the sycophants, toadies, and lackeys of Farmer Bruce Springsteen is Shamu.
Yes, that's right. And also, by the way, the late Tim Russert, who used to go to every concert, every Bruce Springsteen.
He loved Tim Russert, no doubt. But he hates Shamu, Bruce Springsteen. Although one time he played with him.
Yeah, he did. Remember, that's what I was about to say. They performed together.
He was on Air Force One with President Obama at the time, coming back from a campaign stop in Columbus, Ohio, when he was running against Mitt Romney. And he said the only time he's ever talked to Governor Christie at that time, Governor Christie.
What did he say? Pass the cheese?
No. Pass
the coffee, pass the cookie.
It's Bruce. And, yeah. But the one who was saying it's Bruce was Obama. Obama was luring him by saying, I got Bruce here. He's willing to talk to you. Yeah.
Wait. Is that why they did the famous hug? Remember the post-Sandy hug?
Oh, no, that had nothing to do with Springsteen.
Maybe it was like, I'll get you to a Bruce Springsteen concert if you hug me.
But Obama teased him by saying, you can talk to Bruce. And Bruce actually said, hello, and introduced him to Mr. Click.
Oh, I like Bruce. Let's real quick go to Izzy from New Jersey.
What a sucker.
Izzy?
Chris is.
Izzy or is he not, Izzy?
Bruce! I don't understand how anyone can say the man is overrated. He has twice the energy of people half his age.
I'm with you, Iz. I love you, Iz.
Now, I will say this.
Izzy, it's a depends crowd. It's a depends crowd. You don't see hipsters and millennials going to a Bruce Springsteen concert.
You see a lot of young people at a Bruce concert.
Oh, yeah, lots of millennials in here. Just like Billy Joel, they told me, lots of hipsters and millennials. Mark Juan and I, they were wearing depends.
Well, it's interesting to bring up Billy Joel because that's the big difference. Billy Joel wanted every song to be a masterpiece, so he limited his output. Springsteen just throws everything onto an album.
Yeah, and he says, F you, listeners. You're going to pay for it anyway. I'll just throw it on the album.
Oh, he's good. Even his bad songs are good songs.
You know,
that guy's raw
Billy
talent.
Billy Joel and Bruce Springsteen, they're like Heckle and Jekyll. I hate them both. They suck.
Yeah, they are like talent and talent. That's top notch.
1-800-848-WABC. We can talk about it Monday, but we'll find out if NYCHA, the public housing projects, are going to be run by de Blasio or put in receivership like a corrupt union is when it's run by the mob, and then you have to have a monitor come in and run it.